Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, over the last year, EastEnders have had a harrowing storyline about domestic abuse, and viewers have seen Chantelle mentally and physically abused by her husband, Gray. And on Friday, he killed her. It was a very difficult episode to watch, but tragically, really reflects what can happen. Well, on the line now is CEO of Women's Aid, Sarah Benson. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Friday was a really difficult episode to watch. Did you get many calls over the weekend about it?
I actually can't answer that question because that's something I'll be hoping to find out this morning. Okay. But what I can say is throughout the year, we have had callers who have kind of had their own emotional response to seeing that relationship, that abusive relationship, even before the depiction of the murder on Friday. And so I have no doubt that all through the weekend there would have been some responses, because we always do. Likewise, when any of the popular soap operas have covered those lines, those storylines, we do get calls to the National Free Phone Helpline. I suppose what that does tell us is that these things really do resonate with people's real lived experiences, their fears, their concerns, sometimes for themselves and then sometimes for loved ones as well. We might have family or friends ringing because they're worried about someone, and this has really kind of spurred them to go to our website or to pick up the phone.
I believe EastEnders worked closely with Women's Aid in the UK to ensure this storyline evolved accurately. Can I ask you, how realistic were the turn of events portrayed in the programme?
I have to say that I watched just the episode on Friday, so I haven't seen much of the other ones. What I could absolutely say is I would have every confidence we're independent from Women's Aid in the UK, but we would be founded and operate along the same lines, as that they would have been very sensitive in reporting or informing what would really happen. I think what struck me is that you had a very strong woman who had been worn down by the repeated abusive behaviours and controlling and coercive behaviours of a partner. And that would be true. You know, we talk about people who are victims of abuse, but there's also those who are survivors. And really the focus is on how strong, often independent, you know, women who have their own jobs, they're financially independent. This can still happen to them because it is a concerted effort that's made by somebody, by a partner to, as I say, to wear them down, to use multiple tactics to kind of erode their self-esteem, to try and monitor and control them. So in that sense, it did seem very realistic, and also sadly, Women's Aid in Ireland have been the archivists of the femicide report since 1996 in this country, and tragically up till the end of 2019, 230 women have died violently, and 142 of those in their own homes. So this does depict something that can be a reality, a risk.
When EastEnders returned after lockdown, the situation with Gray, the character, and Chantelle had gotten much worse, because that was the reality of lockdown for so many women, wasn't it?
Absolutely. We saw, compared to the same period in 2019, between the end of March and June, a 43% increase in the calls responded to by the Women's Aid 24-hour National Free Phone Helpline. And I mean, that's a staggering number. That's thousands and thousands of callers. And what our team also told us is that, I mean, we're always hearing, incredibly sad, incredibly harrowing reports of experiences of emotional, psychological, physical, sexual abuse reported to us. But the COVID-19 lockdown situation had an additional aggravating impact, because, you know, the team were reporting, you know, more intense levels of despair, of anxiety, of hopelessness, because women were feeling more and more that their options were constrained, they had no respite. It was 24/7 what was going on. You know, they couldn't get out to work, or their abusive partner wasn't going out to work, so there was just no let up at all. So there's no doubt, and we're not alone. I know in the UK, I think Refuge reported a similar, if not higher, increase in calls to the UK line. We know the same in Italy. We know the same in France. This has had a global negative impact on those who are already living in potentially really dangerous situations.
Sarah, you released three case studies about calls you had received during the period of lockdown. Can you tell me about Sharon, not her real name, obviously, but can you tell me about those case studies?
Yeah, I mean, what we do is now, obviously, just to be really careful, you know, we obviously the names and some of the details are always changed to protect confidentiality of callers. But we wanted to highlight the kind of different situations. Sharon, as you mentioned, was somebody who was still working and trying to work through lockdown, but in the house and her husband also in the house at the same time. And he used every possible opportunity to kind of intrude on her workspace, to monitor, to control her, to undermine her in front of her colleagues. And then at the same time, you know, she was also, that was their home. And so, you know, that she was having to do absolutely everything, and everything she did was being picked on. And things became so claustrophobic, so aggravated, that her experience was one of psychological and emotional abuse, but it evolved then into the addition of physical abuse as well. And so she was one of our callers who contacted us and had been scared to contact the guards. But, you know, we would always say if somebody feels in danger, the only agency that actually has the capacity to respond when somebody is in harm's way is the Gardaí. And they have been very proactive and very public about taking a victim-centred approach. And so in that instance, she was, you know, one of those who had to flee her home and go to refuge with her children.
So let's talk about the support Women's Aid offers. What kind of help? You mentioned the guards there, and that is the first call you should make if you feel like your life is in danger. But what kind of help and support does Women's Aid offer?
Well, Women's Aid, as I say, we run the national 24-hour free phone helpline, and that's a completely non-judgmental service. You can call any time, day or night. And indeed, it's also for, as I mentioned, allies and friends and those concerned for a loved one. And the number is 1-800-341-900. We also provide an on-the-phone line interpreter service in over 170 languages, so if English is not someone's first language. And then we also have our online chat service for some who, particularly in the COVID, it's a new service that we were able to expand and to make it across hours 7 days a week, because in some cases, you know, somebody was able to silently chat from another room, you know, where they felt they couldn't actually pick up the phone. And that also helps deaf and hard of hearing women. We also provide Dublin-based drop-in service in the largest family law court, Dolphin House, to support people who are trying to make applications for protective orders. And we do court accompaniment. But I'd say also, you know, our helpline is national, but there are other local services all across the country, and the helpline also acts as a signpost to them, and in fact can make a direct call connect if somebody needs to contact one of the refuges or is trying to get support, face-to-face support service is in their own local area, and so we can connect them directly to that by the call 1-800-341-900 to any service around the country. And then we do a lot of awareness campaigning and advocacy work. And our website, we've also seen a 73% increase in traffic to the website because people have been going there and they have been looking for information, advice. There's kind of those frequently asked questions. You know, there's a quiz on our Two Into You website for younger women to help people kind of do a check on, is my relationship healthy, is it not? Because before it becomes toxic, as you say, to help people to kind of inform themselves and just say, is this me? Is this what's happening to me? And then to be able to say, well, if it is, then that is actually an abusive relationship.
Would you be worried about a surge now in calls or incidents in this lockdown in Dublin at the moment?
Well, I think we're not out of the woods across the whole country. This phase three is not as aggravating in the sense that people can still go out and move. But again, anytime anything additional happens to create increased anxiety, increased stress in an already abusive dynamic, that's never a recipe for anything other than an increase in demand for your service.
If you have a loved one in this situation, what can you do?
That's a really great question and something we're asked a lot. And again, I would encourage anybody who is kind of worried about somebody to phone our helpline to ask. by calling 1-800-341-900. But I suppose the rule of thumb is to just let somebody know that you're there, but not to make judgments about what's going on, to open a door to a conversation, to find a time to, you know, ask, are you okay? To if somebody is becoming increasingly isolated, that is a very, very, very common tactic of somebody who's abusing another person, is to isolate them from their loved ones, their family, their friends. So, you know, if that's happening, is to be there and always keep that door open. Don't kind of decide, well, oh, sure, that person clearly is, they're not phoning me back, or, you know, they don't really want to talk to me. Is, you know, don't assume that, you know, be there, be that person who will just drop a little line on WhatsApp or something like that, just to say, how's it going there? You know, I'm here. And if you're genuinely worried and you know that something bad is going on, it has been disclosed, you know, you might arrange something like a signal, like an emoji that would be innocuous and mean nothing to anybody. But if that's sent, you know, that's sent as a signal, say, okay, well, actually, this person needs me to call the guards or to contact them immediately. So the main thing is to be guided by the person who you're worried about, and not to kind of make determinations, not to tell them what to do, but to work with them to see what is the safest and most appropriate thing for them. But the main thing, keep that door open always, because
good advice. Yeah. Gardaí responded to over 27,000 domestic violence incidents during the coronavirus pandemic, which gives an insight into the pressure cooker people were living in. In 23 years, some 230 women you've mentioned have been killed in Ireland, and almost 9 in 10 of these cases involved women being killed by a man known to them. I mean, that is just frightening. Do you believe soaps like EastEnders, who portray domestic violence, help people?
I think there is a strong social value if it is done with sensitivity and, you know, appropriately. And the fact that they have consulted with, you know, the experts, the frontline experts, they should be commended for that. Just kind of, you know, following something for a sensational reason is not necessarily helpful. But I don't believe that that's what's happened here. And I think raising awareness, I mean, I've worked in this sector for over two decades, and one of the things that always surprises me, but it's really important to remember, is that very, very often somebody who is in an abusive relationship, and indeed somebody who may have suffered, for example, sexual abuse, be it as a child or at any point in their life stage, they often feel like they're the only one, and they feel like there's nothing out there, nobody there to help them, or that they won't be believed. And, you know, these storylines offer a window to say, well, you know, we wouldn't be doing this storyline if you were the only one. You know, it helps people to realize they're not the only one, that there, you know, that there can be supports there, and that they are also entitled to support and help, because nobody should ever be blamed for their own abuse. It's always the responsibility of the perpetrator. So messages like that are powerful and really do have an impact. As I say, I've no doubt I'll be hearing from our helpline team that there was a response to this today.
And Sarah, we've had a huge amount of text come into the show already. I just want to read one out to you. It says, thank you so much for covering this topic. My husband used me as a punch bag for years. It started a few weeks after we were married. He never laid a finger on me before that. And like Chantel, he would never hit me in the face. So nobody had a clue what I was going through. He pushed me down the stairs on Christmas Day and I ended up in hospital for 3 days. An amazing nurse realised what was happening and gave me the details for Women's Aid. I spoke to them and they were amazing. I left my husband and 2 years later, my physical and mental wounds have healed and I have peace in my life. That's just one of the texts that have come in today. Sarah Benson from Women's Aid, thank you so much for all the work that you do and taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure, Jennifer.
Thanks, Sarah. And if you've been affected by this conversation, please call Women's Aid on 1-800-341-900. And if you want to make a donation to this vital charity, you can go to www.womensaid.ie. We'll be back right after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.